Father, we commit this time to you. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about your word. Lord, I pray that you'll bind Satan's hands. Lord, we're all prone sometimes to be thinking about things that are happening maybe later tonight or later this week or even next week. And the devil's really good at popping things into our brain to get us distracted. But I pray that you'll bind Satan's hands. And Lord, may we just focus upon you and your word. I pray that we may truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you may just get the honor and the glory and the praise. And Lord, we may realize even more fully as we look at your word, what a great God we have. And Lord, may we appreciate you and love you more every day. And Lord, I pray that you'll again help me to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. Help me to be faithful to your word. And Lord, just use it in a big way in our hearts and lives. We pray that the word of God will go forth in power tonight and the Holy Spirit will use it in each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you haven't figured it out, I like object lessons. So if you don't like object lessons, you're just going to suffer through this, I guess. But I like object lessons because it helps us to remember. It helps us to remember. I guarantee you that if we brought Bubba back, I miss Bubba. I'm really kind of sad. He belongs down at down Marietta way, and then even beyond that, isn't it? They borrowed him from someone else a good ways away, and we held on to old Bubba as long as we could, but we had to send him back home. But if I brought Bubba back, I figure we'd remember a lot of the things about Bubba, and then remember the racetrack that we used about God's will. And I imagine and that's why one reason I like object lessons is because it puts it in our brain. One of my favorite teachers of the Bible, and he's written commentaries. Now he's one of my favorite commentaries and has for ever since I've been in ministry, Warren Wiersbe. He said, you know what? Our minds are not debating chambers. They are picture galleries. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Now, some people are more picture-oriented and image-oriented than others, but our minds are more picture galleries and less debating chambers. So if we have an object lesson to show, so therefore, and a part of it may be I just never grew up, so I'm not sure, one or the other. But listen, we're talking about God's treasure chest of promises. And we're going to review, and I'm going to bring up these objects, okay? And you're going to tell me what they represent. We're looking at promises. Ultimately, the treasure chest of promises is the Word of God, right? And we have this little treasure chest symbolic of that. But in God's words are promises that we cling to. Have you ever thought about what would we do if we didn't have any promises from God? It'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? Because we lean on those promises, right? And then as we said really in the part one of this sermon series, this is part four, by the way, but in part one, that God's promises are sure. God cannot lie. So if he says it, now you and I can lie. I mean, we can make up a whopper. You know, I went out in the woods and I got me an 18-point buck. I couldn't even drag that thing in. I had to get my four-wheel drive pick-em-up and go out there and hook a chain to it, broke a chain three times. You know, if we could just make a whopper of a lie. Can y'all smile at me? Some of you look like you're mad. We can make up stories. We're capable of lying, but God couldn't make up a story like that because he's God. And when he says a promise, it's true. And I'm thankful. I mean, I'm more than thankful, but that's one of the best words I can use right now. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I appreciate that God's promises are there and that they've been made to us and that they are sure and steadfast. Now, in God's treasure chest of promises, the first one. This is actually one of my favorites because I got the handcuff Ken. This represents a promise from God. Do y'all remember what the promise was? Now, I know sometimes handcuffs have a negative connotation, but we don't mean it negative in any way. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and you get, so to speak, handcuffed to God, right? Amen. So what was we talking about that promise? What is that promise? The promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. You know, you can be very lonely in life. You wish that you had more people around. I've talked to people. I can think of one lady in particular, the first church I pastored. She had lost her husband like years ago. We didn't even know the husband. But she just talked about how close the Lord was to her. You know, and how that she just felt his presence. And yes, she missed her husband, but God was so good that she just always reminded herself that God is with me. And God showed himself in her life and comforted and encouraged her. Now, regardless of how lonely or sad or discouraged you might be in life, one thing about it, one promise from God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And there's more than just one verse. I mean, there's a bunch of verses, right? But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So God's presence, what a promise. What a promise. And he'll never abandon us. People can abandon us, right? But God never abandons us. I mean, he, every analogy breaks down a little bit, but it's kind of like he puts us in the handcuffs of salvation once we trust him as Savior, throws the key away. Right? All right. Simple amen will do. Connie and Larry's not here. They're over visiting an aunt and uncle. I think over in the Mannington area. I'm not positive about that, but I'm not sure of the area, but they're seeing an aunt and uncle. So they have a lot of amen. So we need some amen maker uppers here, okay? We need some people to step in there and amen. All right. So that was promise number one that we looked at. Promise number two, I have here a picture frame. So that was, what was the promise there? Just last week. Y'all remember? What was the promise? The image of Jesus, that God is working on us. The promise that God is not done with us and God is continuing to work. And we looked at Romans chapter 8, and really it was just like, wow, that's there? Wow. I mean, when you look at it, it's like the Holy Spirit's working on us to make us in the image of Jesus. Jesus is working on us to make us in his image. God the Father is working on us. Life and circumstances are working on us to make us more and more into the image of Jesus. Not the way he looked, but in the way he thought, the way he acted, the way he treated people, the priorities that he had, and all of those things. There was even a promise in there, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. And that was part of life is working on us to make us in the image of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Tonight, now we don't spare any expense here when it comes to object lessons, okay? But here is a roll of packing tape, okay? Now, can someone tell me what shape this roll of packing tape is in?
Circle,
okay? Now, I know that you've been in wedding ceremonies, right? But I didn't want to take my wedding band off and I didn't want to lose it. And it's kind of small. And they'll say something like this: just as your wedding band is without end, this marriage is to be without end. And they are to love each other throughout all eternity, right? Or something along those lines for all of this. Y'all, hello? Y'all ever heard that? So here, this represents, there is no break in this tape, okay? At least in the base of it, okay? So tonight, we're talking about a huge, huge promise, okay? It's bigger than WVU beating Pitt in football. Thank you, Gwen. I appreciate that. I think that was more of an amen against football and less of an amen for God. But hey, we'll take it anyway. This is without end. And do you know what God has promised to us? God has promised to us life that never, ever ends.
Amen.
I mean, now to think about the value of that just in general before we look at scripture verses that say that. Paul said it very clearly. He basically said, now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he basically said, if this is all there is, we would be of all men most, what? Miserable. Miserable. Have you been around miserable people? I mean, sometimes people seem to major on being miserable. Okay, that's kind of their thing. But you know, I'm thankful as a Christian. I don't have to be miserable because this is not all there is. Hello? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We're going to call Larry and Connie and put them on the phone.
Amen.
I'm joking. But it's without end. Our life, the moment you got saved. Now, some people say it, and I forgive them. It's not a, but you know, well, someday I'm going to have eternal life. No, I have eternal life right now. I'm not even going to die. The Bible talks about sleep. And as I've said many times, the older I get, the more I appreciate that word sleep. Amen. Right? Some of you go. Some of you don't think you sleep, but you get in that recliner and you know, before you know it, right? And sleep's a good thing. And sleep for a Christian, that's how it describes it. Sleep's a good thing because we're in the presence of Jesus after we fall asleep in this world, right? So the instant I trusted Jesus, in June of 1974, when I trusted Jesus at Hopewell Baptist Church on a Sunday morning service, and I came forward as they sang, "Just As I Am," from that point forward, I had eternal life. Amen. Doesn't end. You know, the Bible has a lot. It might kind of surprise you how many times the Bible talks about everlasting or eternal life. Now, I jotted this down on several pieces of paper as I did my research. But, you know, if you ever wondered, because I have, and I don't know why I didn't know this already. You know, sometimes you ever find a fact and you're like, ding-a-ling, did it take me that long to figure that out? But, you know, Scripture uses the word everlasting sometimes, and Scripture sometimes uses the word eternal. And so I'm thinking, okay, and I could have swore I've heard a preacher preach that, you know, everlasting and eternal are two different things because this emphasizes this. And I'm like, huh, and I was thinking of that. But I looked it up. They're the same Greek word, everlasting and eternal. So the translators at times decide, so basically eternal and everlasting, when you see them in the Bible, mean the same thing. And listen, the word everlasting is used 97 times in the KJV, 26 times in the New Testament in the KJV, and let's see, eternal is used 47 times in the KJV, overall, and then 45 times in the New Testament. And then even the word forever, you know, in reference to life, forever is used a lot. It's used, it is a different word, but it 389 times in the KJV, 51 times in the New Testament in the KJV, in the English translation there. Now, I got a little bit more specific, okay? Everlasting in reference to life. In the New Testament, it's used 12 times, and 8 times it's used by Jesus. Wow. What is that? 67% was used by Jesus. If you look at the word eternal, again, that's the same word, but in reference to life, when it's used like eternal life, it's used a total of 29 times in the New Testament in reference to life, and Jesus uses it 10 times. That's still pretty high, right? And then in forever, in reference to life, I found 4 New Testament references that seem to use the word forever in reference to life. And of those 4, 2 of them were used by Jesus. So Jesus had a lot to say about eternal, everlasting, forever life. Okay? And we're going to do this. Now, you say, preacher, that's not too exciting, but that's okay. If you got your Bible, we will not be projecting them because we don't have anybody to project them right now. But John 3:16 and 15, we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. We're going to keep on going down. There's actually 15 different verses that are very rich and full that Jesus talks about eternal or everlasting or forever life. Now, this is huge. If you're here tonight and you're like, boy, it's been a bad week. Boy, it's been tough. Boy, if you only knew what I had to go through. Well, this is great news because you're not going to forever have to put up with it. You know one thing I'm excited about? I'm not going to have to mow grass in heaven. I guarantee you. I'm not even going to have to mow grass on the new earth. Amen. Come on, some of y'all. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you say, mowing grass to me is therapeutic. I don't get that. Mowing grass to me is hard work. You ought to mow some of those hills in Doddridge County with a push mower. You know what work is, or weed eat those hills. I'm not weed eating as much as I push mow, but boy, I've done that for years. That's a lot of work. So if you're depressed about mowing the grass or depressed about whatever you're depressed about, let me tell you, it's going to be over. Heaven's going to be great, and it's going to last forever. You're not going to have one bad day in the forever that Jesus gives us. Amen. I mean, you're not even going to have 8 hours of a bad part of a day. You're not even going to have 1 hour of one day that's bad. And you're not even going to have 1 minute that's bad, or 1 second that's bad, or 1 nanosecond that's bad, because it's all good in the forever, in the eternal, in the everlasting life that God is going to give us. So you just hang in there. You just hang in there. Because this was never meant to be our eternal home. I mean, think about it. If we had to live in this world forever and ever and ever, and as bad as it's getting, my golly, you talk, it would be depressing, wouldn't it? But this is not my home. John 3:15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And then the verse that we're most familiar with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's kind of interesting. Verse 15, same word, translated eternal. Verse 16, translated everlasting, right? But this tells us how we can get this eternal, everlasting life. And if you're here tonight and you've not settled that, now, we should never, ever, ever assume just because somebody comes to church that they're saved. Right? I mean, it's between the person and God, and it's a decision to believe what the Bible says about Jesus and to claim him as their Savior and to say, forgive me of my sins. So if you're listening in tonight, and you've not done that, by golly, you've not promised eternal, everlasting, forever life. But if you're here tonight and you've not done that, you're not promised that either if you've not done that. But if you know Jesus, you've believed in Jesus, given your life to him. A lot of people think this just coming to church makes you saved. That just doesn't work. I've heard some goofy analogies. It's like, well, you can sleep out in the garage all you want to, but you're not going to be a car. You can live at McDonald's, but you're not going to be a Big Mac. You know, the point is, you can come to church all you want to, but still not be truly born again. There has to be a point of belief where you say, I believe Jesus died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I want Jesus to be my Savior. And mean that from your heart. Again, it's not in the words. And so many people have missed that. And they think, I can work my way there. But John 3:15 and 16 tells us the way to get this everlasting, eternal, forever life is by putting my faith and trust, or believing in Jesus. Go on down a little bit further in John 3:36. It says, he that believeth on the Son, there it is again, hath what? Everlasting life. Life without end. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now this gives us the two destinations, right? You can either experience the wrath of God forever and ever, or you can experience the life that God gives, the everlasting, joyful, plenteous, beyond comprehension life. So it paints both pictures, right? I'm thankful that the Word of God makes it so clear. I might not have been smart enough to figure it out if he didn't make it so clear. How about John 4:14? Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman. Remember at the well? John 4:14. Let's back up to verse 13. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the water from the well. But then he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what kind of life?
Everlasting
life. When we drink of Jesus, drink, partake of salvation, we get that everlasting life. We get that water, that springing well inside of us. Now that speaks of life. And really, we should be getting a little glimpse of it in this world too, right? Hello, hello. It says, we'll never thirst. Never thirst. Now, when you trusted Jesus, now here's a thought. When we trusted Jesus, our thirst for everything other than Jesus should have stopped. And our always wanting more and something else should have stopped. For a lot of Christians, that never stopped. Can I really say that probably for all of us Christians, that never really stopped as it should? Because sometimes we want things and want more and want, right?
Amen.
But if I'm understanding that right, Jesus is the thirst quencher. He's the one that satisfies all we need. So we really don't have to thirst after anything else. Hello? Y'all got that?
Amen.
Okay. All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put little buzzers in everybody's hand. Little buzzers. And when you agree, we're going to have a big screen over here. And it's going to say, agree, disagree. Okay? So you can click either I agree or you got one buzzer in each. I agree with that, preacher. Well, good. Same as an amen. All right. Now look at chapter 5, verse 24. I better move on. Amy hasn't given me the look yet, but I can tell it's getting close. Okay, chapter 5, verse 24. It says, verily, verily. When he says, verily, verily, why does he do that? He wants your attention. He's saying, listen up, listen up. He says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Jesus, words in red here, and believeth on him that sent me, hath what kind of life? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what to what? Death to life. Death unto life. Isn't that cool? Part of this inheriting everlasting life means we have passed from death, eternal death, to eternal life. I knew the guy from, he went to school at Marshall. Ed Carter. He was a black gentleman. He played football for Marshall the year that the football team got killed in the plane crash. He had been home in Texas. I think maybe his dad had passed. So he was in Texas, and he was going to go back, and his mom said, I just don't feel good about this. I don't want you to go back. So he was not on that plane that killed all of those Marshall football players and supporters and boosters. But then God called him. I'm not sure the timing of this, but God called him into the ministry. And he had a ministry. He called it Death Unto Life Ministries. That's why I bring it up. And that's really what's happened to us. We've gone from death to life. And it's not death to just a wee little bit of life or death to there's a dab of life. It's death to everlasting life, eternal life, forever life, full life. Look at chapter 6. Verse 27. John is the one. I didn't say this, but John is the one that emphasized this more than any other gospel writers, by far. This everlasting, eternal, forever life. Let's see, John chapter 6, verse 27. It says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. What's that talking about, you think? Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Stuff material things in this world. So labor not for that, but for that meat which endureth unto what kind of life?
Everlasting
life. The Son of Man shall give unto you for him that hath God the Father sealed. Isn't that cool? Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, this everlasting life, for him hath God the Father sealed. Look at chapter 40. I want to go a little faster here. It says, and this is the will of him that sent me, Jesus speaking, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life. This is an amazing thought. God wants to spend eternity with us. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The God of the universe wants to spend eternity with us. It says, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That's with a brand new body even, right? All right. Let's see. Let me see where I'm at. I think I lost my place here. Verse 40. Go to verse 47. This chapter has a lot to say about eternal life. Verily, verily, there it is again. Listen. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. Notice verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Live forever. Do you see that? Forever. This is the first forever we've thrown in there, okay? Shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. It's interesting that it talks about taking the living water, then it talks about the bread, right? And Jesus is the living water, and he is the bread. And when we partake of that, we will live forever. Notice verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath what? Eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, eternal or everlasting or forever life. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live how long? Forever. Forever. Go ahead and turn to chapter 10. I only got just a little bit more. John chapter 10, verse 23. John chapter 10, verse 23. I really just wanted to show you how many times Jesus talked about this life and how we get this life. John chapter 10, verse 23, I believe. Nope, that's not right, is it? Okay, let me check here. 28. I made my 8 look like a 3. Look at verse 28. It says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I like that, don't you? All right. 12:25. Jesus said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life, what? Eternal. Talking about our love of the world versus our love of him. Are we willing to do what God wants us to do? Or are we going to hang on to the world? We might even lose our life if we're really sold out to the Lord, right? Does it remind you of anybody here lately? Charlie Kirk, from everything that I've gathered, I heard him, I apologize if I already mentioned this, but I heard him on one of the programs I was listening to on the radio. I was stuck in traffic in Clarksburg, and I had it on. He presented the gospel in 70 seconds. And it's the same gospel we would preach. There's only one true gospel. But then he said, this is the gospel in 4 words, and 3 words, and 2 words, and 1 word. And I remember the one word was grace, and the foreword, Jesus gave his life or something. I mean, powerful. And more and more I hear about him, I was not that familiar other than I'd seen him on television a little bit. But I know that the founder of Answers in Genesis, I believe I heard his little blip about Charlie Kirk. He called him a martyr. He said, I believe he's really a martyr. I think it was him, if I'm wrong on that. You can correct me, but I think it was him that really said he was a martyr for his faith. I mean, yeah, he was politically active, yes, and he addressed that, but ultimately he was, and they asked him how he wanted to be remembered. I'm pretty sure I told you this. He said, I want to be remembered for being bold in my faith. So, he gave his life, but he will have forever life as a true believer in Jesus, forever eternal, everlasting life, a whole lot better than this world. All right, let's see, where are we? How about chapter 12, verse 25? We just looked at that one. Let's look at one more, two verses right back to back. Chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. This is as the Lord prayed to his father. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. In verse 1, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal, what? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life, what? Eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, I'm thankful for the promises of God. The one tonight that we're emphasizing is the promise of eternal life. The promise of eternal life. John emphasized it a lot, but Jesus emphasized it a lot. And our life is like this ring. It will not have end. You know, that would be a real kicker if we got to heaven and after the first month God said, okay, that's it. But God, according to his word, has promised eternal, everlasting, forever life. And I don't know about you, but that should at least give me a little bit of a boost when I'm having a bad day. That ought to give me at least a little bit of a boost when I get good, bad news, or good news for that matter, from somebody. I ought to say, you know what? Well, that's part of living in this world, but thank the Lord, I know the rest of the story, and I know that I'm going to have life that does not end. Amen. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, let me ask you, did you need to hear tonight that God promises eternal, everlasting, forever life? Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad month. Maybe it's gone on way past that. Maybe you're in the midst of conflict with somebody in a relationship. Maybe you've got some disease in your body that you didn't choose to have, but you do. You got some physical problem that you would never choose, but you got it. Any number of problems you might have. But did hearing tonight from God's word that if you know Jesus, it's all good. It's all good. God's using it, and someday we will be with God forever, experiencing eternal, everlasting life that never has an end. If that was a little bit of an encouragement to you tonight, would you just thank the Lord for his Bible and for that promise? Would you take just a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for that promise. That promise of eternal life. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I would ask those that may be listening in or someone who may be here tonight, you want to nail down this eternal, everlasting, forever life. And as it said clearly through a number of passages we looked at that Jesus spoke while he was on this earth, it's very clear that the only way to have that forever, eternal, everlasting life is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus, believing in what he did for you, and making the decision to claim him or to confess him as your Savior. If you've not done that, I'd encourage you wherever you are right now, you can pray out to God. You can pray out loud. You can pray in your heart wherever you are, and you can say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin as the Son of God and resurrected back to life. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior, as my leader, as the one I'm going to follow in life, the one I'm going to give my life to. If you prayed that right now, spoke it out loud to God or prayed it silently in your heart and you meant it from your heart, guess what? You just inherited eternal, everlasting, forever life with God in heaven. The key is to mean it from your heart. Really, really mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for your promises. We thank you tonight that we looked at the promise of eternal life. Lord, such a big awesome, encouraging promise. And may we just put it in our pocket, take it with us tonight. And Lord, when things don't look so good in this world, Lord, help us to be reminded and to remember that things look really good in the next life. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name.